Thank you, worship team. In our world today, no one really likes to talk about their own funeral. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and say, hey, how are you going to die well? Have you ever had those conversations? It's pretty awkward to have those conversations over a meal or a coffee. But in our modern day culture, speaking about death is actually quite taboo. People don't like talking about their death. We avoid death at all costs. We spend actually an enormous amount of money not to think about death and to look younger, to stay younger, and to be as young as possible. We say things to ourselves, go for it, or do what you want. Don't experience FOMO, fear of missing out. Or, hey, you're going to stay up all night, no problem, because you sleep when you die. We don't like talking about death. But what's interesting about death is that death, unfortunately, comes for us all. You can't escape death. You can't run away from death. You can fear death. You can try to be busy from death. You might say, as a young person in this room, I don't have to think about that for the next 40 years. But it is important to realize that all of us one day will be face to face with death. And so because of it, it becomes extremely difficult to talk about death, to prepare for death, or even strange. And because of a secular, pluralistic, and maybe a humanistic society, we don't like talking about death and the uncertainties of death, because it forces us actually to ask deep questions. Questions about what happens after death. Where do I go, or where do we go when we experience death or when we die? Is death the final say? Another reason we don't like talking about death is that we feel like if we die, we can't meet and reach and or accomplish our goals. We fear because of maybe family unmet needs or disputes. We sometimes fear death itself. Some people in this room, you might fear death because of the pain that your loss would be. You don't want to cause grief or pain or suffering for others when they're missing you. And conversations about death because of families can sometimes be unsettling and difficult. And when we have questions or fears around death, and we don't have solid answers to these type of questions, then we're left anxious, fearful, confused, and overwhelmed. And fear is not just a feeling, it's a condition. It can set in. Darkness can surround us. And yet, as followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus in this room, a sign and a hope is that we can be reminded that the death of Jesus, and as we reflect on our own morality, Jesus has the final say. Death is not final. That's why we celebrate Easter Sunday. In fact, I encourage you to invite someone to Easter Sunday. If you have to bribe them with good food on Main Street afterwards, then do it. But it's important for them to reflect on a hope that you and I can't ever try to muster on our own. It's hope in Jesus Christ. But as today we reflect on the death of Jesus, and Luke 20 talks about this in Luke 23, 44 and 49. And I just want to pick out one passage of scripture here. It says that about noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And for the sun stopped shining, for the curtain of the temple was torn into two from the top to the bottom. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. As you see in this passage of scripture, Luke is describing the final scene, the last scene of Jesus, a scene that comes for us all called death. And even though Luke describes the darkness of death, we see that Jesus responds to death in a healthy and redemptive way, which we can all also experience. You see, through the example of Jesus, in reflection this morning, is that Jesus faced death head on. In this passage of scripture, we see that Jesus did not fear death. He faced death head on. We can go to the next slide. He did not try to run away from death. He's God, so he didn't have to reject death. He could have just ran away and did his own thing. He didn't. He didn't avoid death. He actually embraced death. Sounds really awkward. As a pastor, sometimes we do hospital visitations, or we go to places where maybe someone's having their final days. And as a pastor, it's a great honor to have those final rites and final moments with people as we usher them into eternity, especially followers of Jesus. It's a very special, beautiful scene in the midst of human misery and messiness. And one of the things that we do as pastors is we take internships during the summer. And so we have students that come from Bible colleges. And this one year, I had two Bible college students, and part of their experience is they had to go to a hospital visitation with me. So I asked the family, is it okay for these two people to come to this hospital visitation? And they were totally fine with it. And I prepped them as we're going to the hospital. Here's what you do. Here's not what you do. Don't be on your cell phone and praying for the person and Snapchatting it and putting it online, okay? Like, don't do that. Like, we went through what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, but I said it's an opportunity to love people well. And here's some ideas to do that. And so as we're going into this hospital room, it's just this wonderful elderly lady. She's on her last days. She's not conscious, she's subconscious, but we talk about this as pastors, that even though people are sleeping or they're not conscious, doesn't mean they can't hear you, they can't feel you, they can might hear your prayers. And so one of these interns, man, the pastoral gift just kicks in. And she comes up to this lady, holds her hand, puts her other hand on her cheek, and just starts praying and whispering words of life to her. The Lord is your shepherd by name. You will fear and want not. He leads us to quiet streams, right? Leads us to green pastures. The other intern is on the other side of the bed just watching this. And so we go and we pray for this person. We speak life into this person. They don't awake. We try not to come in and say, hey, we're here. Pastor Andy's here. Knock, knock, knock. Show up. And then we leave. No, we just come in quietly. We pray and we ask God to redeem, to heal, of course. But in these last days, we also commit someone's spirit to the Lord. It's like what we see with the final words of Jesus. So as we're leaving the hospital room and we get into the car, I'm like, how was that for you? And the one that was holding the lady's hand and was praying and comforting the lady, she's like, Andy, that was an amazing moment for me. Like, I felt that God's presence wasn't with me. God's presence was working through me. And I didn't know what words to say, but those words came out beautifully. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And the other person's like, I just think I want to stick with youth ministry. I don't want to do that ever again. I don't want to be part of that. But it's part of pastoral ministry. It's part of life. You see, when it comes to our own reality, we don't have to fear death. We can face death like Jesus did, heads on. But not only did Jesus face death head on, Jesus faced death by facing the Father. Facing the Father. As we've seen throughout this sermon series, each of the gospel writers share multiple narratives of the same story. The best way I could put it is like this Bible. Every single person in this room is seeing a different perspective, different angle of the Bible, but it's still the same story. It's the same with the passion or the story of Jesus the week when he was crucified. There's different narratives that is being shared. But it is interesting to note that when Jesus is on the cross, there's actually different perspectives of Jesus because he's on the cross. To the religious, the cross represented a rejection of the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to be a military leader, a powerful leader, not someone on the cross. So they silenced Jesus by putting him on a cross. To the Romans, the cross represented the fate for criminals, not just every type of criminal, but the worst type of criminals. And it was meant to be a torture chamber for those that would rebel against the Roman way. The cross was meant to be suffocating and humiliating and chaotic, cruel. And yet those closest to Jesus were watching from a distance on the cross as Savior, as a son, as a friend, as he's crying out these words to humanity. This is where Jesus' mother was. John, as you see in the Gospel of John, a few others who walked with Jesus since the beginning of his public ministry. And even though all of these people are looking at the cross, looking at Jesus, Jesus is not looking at the cross. He's not looking at death. He's looking at the Father. He says, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit." And he's quoting from a psalm that King David wrote. "For you are my rock and my fortress, and your name's sake you lead me and guide me." Verse 5. "Into my hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." In other words, a couple thoughts here today, even with us today in the midst of the chaos of darkness and death. The first thing that we see here is that Jesus trusted the Father in the midst of the chaos of the cross. He trusted God. He trusted the Father. His followers, his hearers, and his readers that we see in this story of the cross is meant to point people to Jesus in the midst of the chaos of our own crosses, our own lives. Death is not easy, of course. Death is difficult. It's real. But because of the cross, we can find hope. In our own decay, we can trust. In our own pain, we can look to God, the Father, rather than our pain, rather than our chaos, rather than our situations. Look at how Peter puts it 25 years later. 25 years later, he is writing an epistle, a letter, to encourage followers of Jesus at that time. He says this, "When he," Jesus, "was reviled," which means when he was misused, abused in every way, "he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued to entrust himself to him, God, who judges justly." So we see that Jesus trusted God on the cross, not just because the Father was God, but because the Father knew that there was justice coming. That justice was the freedom from sin and darkness. We will talk about that on Sunday, where you're going to invite your friends to, your family, and then go out on Main Street. Yes, sir. That sounds awesome. So in the midst of our own pain and suffering, in the agony of our own brokenness and human limitations, even in the darkness and the face of death, Peter declares to you and me, will you trust? Can you trust God? And literally, because of Jesus being on the cross, he takes in all the agony of the world, spiritually, all the darkness and sin of the cosmos and the universe, he takes upon himself so that we can face death well. As a pastor, of course, as I mentioned, we walk with people who are in this last season, last days of life. And I remember my grandma when she was in her last season of life. And sometimes as a pastor, I'll ask, do you have any advice? What would you do differently? Do you have any regrets? What was a highlight in your life? Like I had these conversations sometimes that come out organic. But to my grandma, I asked her, do you have any regrets in your life, grandma? What would you do differently? Like, what would you want to do looking back? And most cases when people say this, they say, Andy, chase your dreams. They're like, you know, do what you think that you are called to. Some people say, love your wife well or love your kids well. Stay close to Jesus. Find joy in every day, in every situation. Someone said, which was a pretty key person in my life, said, don't worry so much, Andy. Like, life somehow has a way to make itself work out. I'm like, yeah. Oh, great. You know, that's how advice sometimes goes. But my grandma's words were different. You see, grandmas, as you know, support you, invest in you, They're your biggest cheerleader. They're the ones that are giving you money or candy or taking you out for food all the time. Like, they're your biggest cheerleader, just like my grandma. And her words still stick with me after 8 years when she passed away. She said, "Andy, there's no need to regret anything. Why regret? Life is full of regrets or opportunities. I chose opportunities." I'm like, "Grandma, well said." To make the most out of this life, Andy, is for me not to regret, because there's no need to regret anything. What great words. My grandma, and even grandpa, is an example to me to embrace the final stages of life well, to embrace death well. My grandma and grandpa loved well. They set up their family well. They did not focus on their circumstances or conditions at the time, but embraced the painful reality of death that comes for us all. But as a follower of Jesus, she knew that death did not have the final say. Because as we see in Scripture, the final words of Jesus, Jesus faced death head on by looking to the Father and overcoming death itself. This is why Jesus is so famous. This is why his words are more important than any other word that we experience here on earth. His words are the final words. They're living words. They're powerful words. And even in the midst of your own pain and suffering today, his words speak life and hope, not on an ideal level, but in a practical, relational level as well. When Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," he's not talking about death, even though we reflect and remember his death today. What he's talking about is redemption. What he's talking about is that in the midst of death, I will trust you, Father, who's going to redeem death itself. What powerful words. There is no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth that has the power to say those words other than Jesus himself. That's why we reflect on his death, because he has the final say. As Jesus has faced death, today in this room, we have an invitation, you and I, to face death well, as well. And as ideal as I mentioned it sounds, it is true that followers of Jesus in our modern day world do not need to fear death, but to face death. And what I mean by this is that followers of Jesus do not look for death. They don't chase death, but they make the most out of their life till death. Death, as a follower of Jesus, is a gateway to eternity. It brings joy to us. So for followers of Jesus, in the midst of a painful, dark, chaotic, confusing world that doesn't like talking about death, that runs away from death, that tries to look younger, spends billions and billions of dollars, not just to look young, but to be young, followers of Jesus in this world do not need to live with regrets. Followers of Jesus do not need to experience the fear that this world tries to impede on us. Followers of Jesus do not need to become anxious. Followers of Jesus, as the writer of Scripture describes it, simply falls asleep because death is not the final say. Paul puts it this way as an early church leader. You've probably read this scripture before. It's quite famous. In fact, he's mocking death. You know how sometimes we read things and you don't get the tone? Paul is mocking death because of Jesus. He says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? As we reflect on the death of Jesus, we should reflect on our own morality as well. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as we to go into a time of communion. But because of Jesus, with this last slide, we can face death well. Because Jesus faced death head on. Because Jesus faced death by facing his Father, not his circumstances, not the cross. not things of this world, but to his Father, just like you and I. And Jesus faced death by overcoming death itself. And not only did he overcome death for him, he has overcome death for you. Watch this video for a second.
Love Danesh. Hana Hayao. Le Ahodo. Tatmarlan. Inanatu Mashicha. Bara de Haleha.
Anea na.
Good fa!
True story account of the cross was just what you saw. Because of Jesus, we can face death because Jesus faced the most terrible death of all heads on. Because Jesus was able to face this type of death because he looked to his Father. And due to this, as we can celebrate together, is that Jesus faced death by overcoming death itself, not just his own death, but for you and I today. This is why we have an opportunity to take communion. If you are new to home church or you don't know the practice of communion, communion is to remember what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And it is a time to reflect on what he has done on the cross. Maybe you're here today and you're full of pain, anxiousness, confusion, doubt, darkness. I encourage you today that you do not need to carry those things any longer because Jesus has done that for you on the cross. Don't have to try to manage it or fix it. You release it to the cross. And instead of looking at the darkness of our world or the confusion that it causes or the pain that we experience, we focus not at the cross, but the one who has conquered the cross, Jesus, when we reflect. And one day, friends, as the practice of communion is meant to be, we're going to see Jesus again. Death does not have the final say. Jesus does. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why we live differently. That's why we let Jesus live in us, not death. So as we reflect in song and worship, I encourage you to reflect on your own mortality today, and that God would strengthen you afresh. Let's sing together.